Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Crimes, Killers, Cults.
And beer.
And beer. And in case you're wondering what the hell that was, I'll tell you. There's the podcast, Florida Men on Florida Man. They have the Suwannee River as their opening intro music. And we were supposed to be doing a collab with them, and that kind of fell through. But I recorded that, what you just heard, the kind of like a punk version of Suwannee River, to play for the collab. Well, that never happened. I told them that they could use that if they wanted to. They never did. So we're going to use it for any time we do a Florida story, which this is.
There you go.
'Cause that song is public domain, so it's not like they have any claim to it or anything like that. And there you go.
So, yeah, they didn't write it, so it's all good.
Yeah, they didn't write it. Anybody can write and record that. Anybody can record that song.
Right on.
Anyway, so that's what that was. And just go ahead and telling everybody so that we won't get, oh, you guys are ripping off Florida Man on Florida Man. No, we're not.
Nah.
There's a saying, never look a gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like that's what they did by not taking that.
Eh, well, you know. their loss is our gain.
Yep, considering I did it anyway.
So. Yeah, right.
I mean, shit, I recorded that freaking 6 months ago. 6 months ago, I've been sitting on that.
God, it's been that long? Holy crap.
Something like that. So.
Anyway.
Anyway, that's Todd.
And that is Bill.
Now, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking my last hard Mountain Dew. The Vodka Blast Pineapple in all powder blue here.
Powder blue sippy cup.
Yes, my powder blue sippy cup. Powder blue has taken on a life of his own, I believe.
Indeed.
Anyway.
So this is a half pint episode.
Yes.
And it is a Florida episode. And
does that say something bad about Florida?
No.
That, you know, all the criminals in Florida are so friggin' dumb that there's not no story to it. It's just half a story.
This is the fourth half pint we've done, and it's the first one in Florida.
Is it? Okay. Well, never mind then. Dude, I can't remember what I did yesterday. Well, I remember what I did yesterday now. I'll always remember what I did yesterday.
Source material here is the documentary Biting the Hand That Feeds You, and it's on the Evil Talks documentary, Chilling Confessions, episode season 1, episode 5.
I know.
So, I have no ado, do you?
I just want to say it real quick. If you've been listening to us for any amount of time, you know that I am the crazy cat lady of this podcast.
Yep.
And unfortunately, my pride is now down one. We lost one of our 8 cats yesterday. Which sucks, but... Yeah, but, you know, she was old. She's old. I mean, she lived a good life. She's had health issues her entire life, as far as I know. So, you know, it happens. But, yeah, yesterday was a very, very sad day.
Poor kitty.
And in the old Toddzilla household.
Well, thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, thank you. And I know she's in a better place now, so it's all good.
So, okay. Well, I have no ado. So, we'll just jump right into this.
Absolutely.
So, Doris and Cecil Babcock, they lived in Dunnellan, Florida. And Cecil was a long-haul truck driver. And in October of 2009, he tried to call his wife Doris, and he couldn't reach her. And they usually talked every day.
Okay.
So, it was unusual for her to not answer the phone. Like the exact opposite of you. It's not usual that you answer the phone.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, some days I just don't feel like talking.
So he called his daughters Hoddly. Hoddly.
I need to start writing this shit down.
Hoddly enough.
Hoddly enough.
Right? Holly Sadler and Sherry Manise. And they tried calling as well, and there was no answer. So the family began getting worried. So Cecil called the police.
Okay.
An officer went to the house for a welfare check, and the lights were on, and there was smoke hovering around the house. And he knocked on the door, and nobody answered, so he went in.
Well, he had, sorry, he had to... I have to say it. Hmm. So the lights were on, but nobody was home?
Yep.
Sorry, I had to do it. I couldn't help it. You set it up perfect.
So, but somebody was in the house, but it wasn't Doris.
Oh, okay.
It was a 19-year-old boy named Zach Snyder.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And he wasn't there making a movie.
Okay.
He said that he was supposed to be there because Cecil had called him and asked him to check out the house. So why call a 19-year-old punk when you've already called the police?
Yeah. That sounds suspicious.
Yeah. So he said that Doris and Cecil were his former guardians, and he had been living there for 4 years. And they took him in because he had been in and out of foster care. He had a really bad life. So they basically took him in as a charity case because they felt sorry for him.
Well, all right.
And he had moved out shortly before this, and he said that Doris had taken him shopping the day before this happened, and Doris's keys were on the counter, and the car was in the driveway, but there was no sign of her.
Oh, yeah, that's suspicious, all right.
Yeah. There was nothing in the house that seemed to be out of place up as far as what the officer had seen at this point.
Okay.
But in the master bedroom, there was a piece of carpet that had been cut. And this isn't a clean cut. A carpet repair man didn't cut this to put in a patch.
Yeah.
This was just a hack job. And there was a red stain at the edge of the cut. And so whoever had cut the piece out had missed it. And Zach said to the cop, that looks like blood.
Okay. Why do... Never mind. I'm not going to go
ahead. Again. Go ahead.
Why do I get the feeling that Zach is our guy?
Well, for one thing, the name of the episode, the name of the documentary, Biting the Hand That Feeds You.
Yes.
And the fact that Cecil is over the road.
Yeah. I think I don't know. For some reason, it just feels to me like Zach is our guy.
The cop called for backup from homicide, and they arrived, began looking over the scene, and there was a little bit of blood spatter on the wall, and the wall had also been freshly painted, and in fact, the paint was still wet.
Okay. That's don't get much fresher than that.
They also determined that it was, in fact, blood on the carpet. Then they went out back, and they found a fire pit, and it was burning. Oh. And they saw what appeared to be charred bones. There were also pieces of burnt fabric. So they quickly put out the fire, and evidence was taken. And Zach had ashes on his pants. And he said that he had come there to look for Doris, but decided while he's there, he'd burn off some trash up for and fix some things up in the house.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was calm, but he didn't know what they had found in the fire pit. So he was immediately a suspect, or at least a person of significant interest at this point.
I would hope so.
So police called Cecil, who said that he did not call Zach and ask him to go in the house. He had just called to ask if he had seen her that day, and he was pissed because he was in the house.
As like, you would be.
He's like, we moved his ass out of there. He shouldn't even have a key. So they had had a falling out, and they didn't like each other anymore. So Doris had agreed to set Zach up in a place to get him out of the house, which she did, and he really had no reason to come back.
Yeah.
So Zach was taken in for questioning, and he was read his rights by a Detective Spivey, and he was being cooperative, but he was immature, according to Detective Spivey. Now, Zach had burns on his hand that he admitted were from the fire, and he said that the last time he had seen Doris was the day before, and they had gone shopping, and then they had watched TV together, and then he had left.
All right.
What'd you watch?
Not The Godfather. If you know, you know. We're just going to leave it there.
Was it you? Are you Zach?
No. Even though I play an idiot on the internet, I'm a lot smarter than that.
So the daughters, Sherry and Holly, were calling the Dunnellan Police Department looking for updates, and they didn't have anything. And Zach wasn't a criminal mastermind by any stretch of the imagination, but he was putting on a good performance. And he went through his background with Doris and Cecil, and they also pressed him on the falling out that he had had with Cecil. And while questioning Zach, Detective Spivey was also trying to get information on Cecil, asking him if he was violent or if he was a good guy. And yeah, Zach said that he was a good guy, but he could get mean if you pissed him off like anybody else. So obviously Cecil was a suspect because the spouse is always a suspect.
Yeah, right. That's just the way it works.
Yep. So when you get married, you're immediately a suspect should anything happen to your spouse.
Yes. That's one thing they don't tell you.
No.
You never get told that before you get married. Oh, by the way, if anything happens to the other one, you're immediately a suspect.
Yep. Oh, my. But even if you're just...
Yeah, you don't have to be married for that to happen.
No. If you're just a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever, and you're the suspect.
But still, they never told us about that.
Nope.
Not once did somebody tell me when I was growing up that whoever you're in a relationship with, you're the suspect if something happens to him. Or a suspect. Anyway.
Well, that's another thing. Another thing they don't tell you that, like, if you're in a domestic abuse situation, like, let's say your wife is, like, throwing things at you and beating the shit out of you and stuff like that, and you call the police, both of y'all are going to jail.
Both of y'all go to jail. Yeah, I know.
Even if you haven't done a damn thing.
Well, nobody told me that either, but I knew that one. I don't know why. Watched too much TV or something. But so, yeah.
So back at the house, forensic officers were processing the scene. And when Cecil had called, he said that he was at a truck stop in Kentucky. So they asked a Kentucky police department to go to that truck stop and make contact with him. Now, I'm just going to say something here, and I want to see if you can figure out what's wrong with this.
Okay.
In this scene in the documentary, they showed police officers walking up to a day cab.
Okay.
What's wrong with that? He's a long haul truck driver who lives in Florida, and he's in Kentucky, and they used a day cab to film that scene.
Well, so what? There's no sleeper?
There's no sleeper. No, there's no long haul truckers is driving a day cab anywhere.
I didn't know that non sleeper trucks were called day cabs. That's what they're. Okay.
Yeah, that's what. Oh, okay, but yeah, unless they're putting you up.
I totally understand now. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, unless they're putting
it's TV.
Unless they're putting the driver up in a hotel room every night, which they won't do because that costs money.
It's got to be a glamorous life. It's on TV, man.
Yeah, there's no long haul truckers driving around in a day cab.
Well, maybe like sleeping, sitting up. You don't know. Anyway.
So, hashtag, but I digress.
Yes.
But the officers did make contact with Seal. With Seal.
I'm not.
Orc.
Kissed by a rose on the way, perhaps?
That too. I couldn't remember the words, otherwise I would have said it.
I know. I was debating on whether to sing it or not.
I had the melody in my head, but I couldn't remember the words.
I was trying to decide if I was going to embarrass myself and try to sing it or just let it go. So I let it go.
But the officers made contact with Cecil, and his alibi was confirmed. So, you know, with his logs and whatnot, and obviously, so.
Oh yeah.
And he's in Kentucky.
He's in Kentucky. That should be a dead giveaway right there.
Yeah. So Cecil was cleared as a suspect. So they dug in harder on Zach, and Zach said that he had spent time with. The time that he had spent with Doris and Cecil were the best years of his life, and he had been abandoned, abused, and Doris had given him had basically given him a family, like treated him like one of her own kids, and yeah. He even called her grandma.
Aw.
Yeah. But his clothes were stained, and his hands had deep cuts on them that required stitches. And when somebody is stabbing somebody to death, it's common for them to cut themselves in the process.
Yeah, because you think you can hold the knife like they do in the movies.
Yeah, not only that.
It doesn't quite work that way.
But we'll get to that here in just a minute.
Okay.
But where I explain it in detail. But Spivey asked about the cuts on his hand, and take a guess as to how he explained them. And remember, the story takes place in Marion County, Florida.
Oh God!
So it's close to the ocean.
Well, okay. Cleaning fish.
A specific kind of fish. A big one.
Sharks.
Yeah, he said he was.
I always go for sharks. I don't know why.
he said that he was gutting a shark.
Okay.
And somehow, while gutting said shark, he sliced the insides of his hand open.
Yeah, well, you know, that is a big pile of shit.
And Spivey knew that. Now, this would be the same type of cuts that a stabber would get if the knife hits the bone and then the hand slides down the blade.
Yes, because he held it wrong.
Right, but when you're gutting a shark... It's not going. Your hand isn't making
a knife
up and down motion.
I mean, unless he was.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, maybe if he meant like he was stabbing a shark to keep it from killing him, gutting it, maybe. But yeah.
Well, but if you're gutting a shark, usually the shark's already dead.
Well, you can, you know.
But people still
say that though. Like, dude, I'll fucking gut you. It doesn't mean you're dead. It means I'm going to cut your guts out while you're still alive.
But there's video of this, and he's going like this. You know, he's got the you know, both of his hands together, and he's going up and down like you know, a stabbing motion. That's what he was demonstrating.
Okay.
When you gut a shark, you're slicing, not stabbing.
Well, that first one's got to be a stab. Maybe he just kept on with the whole hacksaw. I'm not taking his side here. Believe me, I already called him out. I'm just saying that.
I'd like.
I could see why he would think that people would believe that, but no, not at all.
I mean, I'd like my shark sliced, not stabbed.
Yes, don't stab my shark; just slice it.
Do you like shark meat?
It's different.
Yeah, it's not my favorite. Shark and swordfish are like. That and tuna and salmon are like my least favorite fish.
You just named all the best ones. In my opinion.
I like mahi-mahi. That's my favorite.
Mahi's good. And anyway, yeah. I mean, shark's all right. It's just, it's a different taste, or at least it was for me. I don't know. I've only had it once.
It's an entirely different texture too.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyway.
Yeah. So you hear of people talking with their hands, and he certainly was, but his hands were telling the truth and his mouth was lying.
Yes, indeed.
Spivey believed 100% that Zach murdered Doris, but he couldn't accuse him. He didn't accuse him of murder just yet. He wanted more shark tails.
Shark tails.
So he got Zach talking about the fire pit. And Zach at this point thinks that he's earning an Oscar.
Well, of course he does. Because, you know, why wouldn't you? They haven't said anything yet to him, I'm sure. Like, doubting him. So they're just leading him on.
Yeah.
You know?
He's like, I've got these people eating out of my hand. I'm going to clear this. I'm going to get off of this and everything.
Yeah,
and
I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
Absolutely not, sir.
But like I said before, Zach admitted to starting the fire. You know, I wish he said that he didn't start the fire. Then I could have sang a song.
Yeah, right. Dude, have you heard the new version of that one?
I've heard a lot of versions of that one.
I heard one the other day, and it was like I wouldn't call it metal, or not even punk, but you know, whatever, just somewhere in between metal and punk rock.
Well, that song itself is like kind of has elements of punk to it.
Yeah, but you know, Billy Joel is not, you don't usually consider punk with him, unless we're talking about two different songs.
But no, we're not. But Queen did you know, Stone Cold Crazy, and that's a fucking heavy metal song.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it was when James Hetfield played it.
It was when Queen did it.
No, have you ever heard Queen's version? Queen's version is nowhere near as heavy as Metallica.
Look at what it came out in the '70s. That's a metal song. The heavy metal song.
Yeah, but dude, it's Brian May. He played it on that single coil guitar with a fucking penny, dude. It's not metal. So. Don't get me wrong. I love Queen, and their version of the song is outstanding. A, because it's the first version of it, and B,
because it's Queen.
And what, I don't care what you think about anything, dude. Freddie Mercury, the best singer.
Agreed.
Anyway,
but. Zach admitted to starting the fire to do Doris a favor by burning some trash, and medical examiners determined that what they found in the pit were 100% were human bones. So at that point, Spivey went in for the kill. He said that he knew what was in that fire. Now, keep in mind what I just said. He said, I know what was in that fire. And Zach said, I didn't put Doris in the fire.
Oops. Nobody said you did.
Yeah. Spivey didn't say that. All he said was he knew it was in the fire, and Zach maintained that he was just burning trash.
Yeah.
So, Spivey doubled down.
Right.
He said that he knew that Zach had killed Doris, and Zach just repeated, I didn't do it, over and over again.
It wasn't me.
Spivey tells him, you know, it's like, you cut your fingers because the blade hit the bone and your hand slid down the blade. I didn't do it. Spivey asked if Doris begged for her life and asked him to stop. I didn't do it. Spivey asked if she did anything to cause this, and Zach said that she never did anything. She was a sweet old lady, and he loved her. And then Spivey says, okay, well, why did you kill her then? I didn't do it.
I didn't do it.
Oh, God. So back at the scene, medical examiners found a smoking knife in Doris's car.
A smoking knife.
It was bloody, so that means it would probably have fingerprints and DNA.
You would think. Since he obviously didn't clean it, it's kind of a little bit of everything on it.
And since it cut him, he's going to be able to determine if there's one or two different types of blood on there. So yeah, there's three things that they can find off of this knife.
Yeah, he's fucked. Oh, God. Okay.
Doris had been stabbed so hard in the hip bone that it bent the tip of the blade almost to a 90-degree angle. And then it warped the knife's blade.
God damn.
And the forensic examination of the hip showed the chip that had gotten, you know, where the blade had hit the bone.
Yeah.
But Zach kept saying, I didn't do it.
I didn't do it.
I did not stab her.
I did not stab that woman. Anyway.
I didn't give her a cigar either.
Oh, you went there. Okay.
Indeed. So Spivey asked him, okay, what did you do? And at that point, Zach played the victim, saying he wanted Spivey to stop doing this. He had told the truth, and he was stressing him out. Poor Willow Zach.
Zach need a safe space to go cry in?
Does Zach need a pacifier?
Well, he's about to get into a safe space. Well, never mind.
He might even be getting a pacifier. About 6-7 inches long.
Yeah. Yeah, we went there. I was trying not to.
So Zach would.
I don't even know why I try not to. I should just do it because it's going to happen anyway.
Yeah, because if you don't do it, I will.
Yeah, I've gathered that.
So Zach would even look Spivey in the eye at that point, and Zach changed his catchphrase to, I didn't do anything.
Okay.
But Spivey kept applying pressure, and he's asking Zach about Doris's last words, trying to trip him up. I didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything. Who'd Zach, you put in fire, Zach?
I didn't Not do Doris. Anything. Not Doris. Well, then who did you put in the fire? I didn't do
Not
anything.
Not Doris. I didn't do anything. I didn't put nobody in no fire.
Nope.
Oh, God, we're going straight to hell. Anyway.
He would have been better off if he had just, as soon as he put her in the fire, just called 911 and said that's how he found her.
Yeah, that probably would have helped some. And that's another thing, too. You know, fire isn't the be-all, end-all cleanser that the movies make it out to be.
No, the fire has to be large and hot, very hot.
And even then, it doesn't get everything. But, you know,
whenever. Well, I know Dennis Nielsen, with his fires that he used to burn his victims off, I mean, he was pretty thorough about basically turning everything to ash. But he was burning he was burning tires along with it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think it's because, you know, you get people, you know, when you die, you cremate them, right? So they think fire burns up bodies. But you don't realize that the fire that you get cremated in is like 1,500 degrees.
Yeah, and it's
more.
And it's in an enclosed steel structure.
You know,
it's either steel or concrete.
You can't just start a bonfire, throw a dead body on, and expect it to be gone. Mm-mm. Anyway, I digress.
But it is possible to do that, though. But you just got to really know what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah.
So, Zach at one point said that Spivey's questions were fucking hilarious, and serious props for Spivey for not just strangling Zach right then and there.
Yeah, this guy is definitely showing more than a modicum of restraint.
Yeah. Like, you little fucker.
Good on him. Yeah, you little fucker.
Because you know he wanted to.
Oh, yeah, but then he knew that the kid would get away. Not get away, but get off. You know what I mean?
And then he'd wind up in prison.
Yeah. Anyway.
But so the evidence to the contrary was just too much. And the knife, the body found in the fire that he admitted to starting, the fact that he was in the house with likely fingerprints and DNA forthcoming from the knife. But Spivey wanted the confession. Spivey's a badass.
Hell yeah. Well, shit, he's a Florida cop.
But then, you know, he's not a Dallas cop.
Yeah. Dude, God damn it.
So then Zach blurts out, "Prove it. You say I did it? Prove it." Well, Zachy boy, they can.
Yeah. No Justice League 3 for you, my friend. So, thank God, cause it, I don't know. Never mind.
At this point, Zach hadn't asked for an attorney. Oh. But Snyder thought that he would at some point coming, you know, soon. So before Zach,
wait, who thought? Because isn't Zack Snyder?
Oh, he thought, Spivey thought Snyder would ask at some point. Okay. Yeah.
Confused a little bit.
Before Zack got the chance to request an attorney, he starts talking about the incriminating evidence. He brought up the blood on Zack's jeans, and Zack says, "That's not blood, that's dirt."
Okay.
Cecil's in Kentucky, not you.
Yeah, right.
And even
there ain't no red dirt roads here in Florida, boy.
Yeah.
At least not till you get up near Georgia.
Right. But Spivey responded by pointing to another spot that was clearly crimson, and Zach said, "That might be blood."
That might be blood.
He then says, "So what? It doesn't mean I dragged her or I put her in the fire."
And like, again, nobody said nothing about dragging.
Right. Like O.J. Simpson said, "If I did it, here's how it happened."
Yeah. I can't.
So Zach is still refusing to budge, and at that point, Spivey told him that he was officially under arrest, and he's not going anywhere. And Zach says, "I'll bet you I am, because I didn't do a damn thing. I know my rights."
Oh, God, one of those guys.
But he still hadn't asked for an attorney, even though he was told that he would be provided one at the beginning, so he obviously did not know his rights.
Well, he just didn't understand them. Doesn't sound like this guy understands a lot of things anyway, but.
Oh, just buckle up, man.
Oh, I don't want to buckle up.
So Zach said he wanted to be left alone. So without a word, Spivey got up and left, didn't even close the door behind him. And you know where he went. You know where Spivey went. Take a.
To the room with the two-way mirror.
Yep. And the camera.
Yeah. So went into the spy room because, you know, they're always there.
Yep. So while alone and on camera, he said, "Shit, I got blood there. I got blood there. I got blood on my shoes because I was all up in that fire." He actually said that.
Out loud?
Out loud.
Right. To nobody?
To the camera. But that he didn't know was on.
This has to be the stupidest person on the earth.
I mean, this is even dumber than BTK with the floppy disk.
I'm. Fuck. I don't even really know what to say to that. There's a camera. You're in a police station. There's a camera there. It's on. Just whether it is or it isn't, act like it is.
Yeah, he even took his shoes off and was examining them.
Oh, my God.
There's some blood right there.
There's some blood right there. I'm glad they didn't see that. Oh, fuck my life.
No, he was, and Spivey's just watching
this. Backwards. Sorry.
Spivey's just watching him on camera do all this shit and listening to every word that he says. It's
keep
all
digging in the that hole, boy. Keep digging that hole.
It's all in the documentary. All the video footage. It's all there.
Well, I would hope so. It would have to be. Otherwise, it's not a good documentary.
Right. But when Spivey came back, Zach did ask for a lawyer, and Spivey says, "We'll get one, but I just want your jeans and your shoes." And Zach said, "You got no right to take that stuff."
Yeah.
He actually did. But I think at this point, he doesn't want to run the risk of, you know, some defense attorney twisting it around.
Yeah.
So rather than just saying, no, we are taking those clothes, he just brought a photographer and she took a shitload of pictures.
All right.
You know, but he was worried that, you know, like he might contaminate the evidence or whatever that was on him. But still, we still got the photographic evidence.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And
they're going to get his clothes in a minute anyway. So
I know, because you can't go into holding in street clothes.
Nope. Anyway.
So, the bones were positively identified as Doris. As if we didn't really need to say that.
No, we didn't. But yeah.
But this was all day one.
Oh God.
It was almost as fast as in a CSI episode.
I know, right?
Except they haven't gotten the confession yet.
Well, you know. Maybe it's a two-part CSI episode.
Could be. The next day, a search warrant of Zach's apartment was issued, and in the apartment, they found something. Take a guess.
Oh, no. What can I guess? I don't know. They found stuff that belonged to Doris?
Nope.
Then I don't know.
The detective went through the trash can and he finds three pieces of crumpled up paper, and it was a to-do list.
Okay.
Number one, kill Miss D.
Oh, shit. He wrote it down?
Number two, get ATM cards and look for Penn. Number three, take Jeep, get gas. Number four, pick up items. Number five, items. Basically, rob the house.
Oh, okay.
Number five, take DVDs. Number six, bring them back home.
Jesus.
Number seven, food. Number eight, go get Mallory. Number nine, gas cans. Number 10, get some money. Number 11, get lighter. Number 12, get bed.
What was number 12?
Get bed.
Get bed?
It was
so what, on, he didn't have a bed?
No, I think he was planning on burning the house down. Starting with the bed. That's what I think anyway.
Okay, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. Why? He must have thought that, like, deep down inside him, he must have thought that he was really going to get away with this.
When do you find out the reasoning and when you find out who Mallory is?
Oh, God.
So
do
DNA,
I even want to know?
Probably not, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
Of course, it wouldn't be a show if you didn't.
The DNA results showed a mixture of blood from both Doris and Zach. From the knife. And Doris loved Zach as one of her own, and he killed her. And on January the 31st, 2010, Zach contacted the police and said that he would rather die than spend his life behind bars, and requested the death penalty in exchange for his confession.
Okay.
The trial hasn't even happened yet.
What the...
He's still awaiting trial. Because they had to wait for the DNA results to come back.
For 13 fucking years?
No, for 1 year.
You said it was 2010. It's 2023. That's 13 fucking years. You said it still hasn't started?
No. In 2010, the trial hadn't started yet. They were still waiting on DNA to come back. The murder happened in 2009. He made this request in 2010.
I know, and then you said it still hasn't gone to trial, which
I was talking about like today. I meant in that timeline. In that timeline, he still hasn't gone to trial yet. That's what I meant.
Okay. You could have worded it different.
Sorry, grammar
confusing
Nazi.
Confusing your co-host. I'm not a grammar Nazi, only to myself. Hard to do. I only grammar Nazi myself. And I only do it when I write stuff. Because I talk like a ignorant wretch anyway. So
it's not hard to confuse my co-host.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that statement is truer than anybody deserves to know. Yeah, well, you know.
So Spivey rushed back to the interrogation room, and Zach said that I killed somebody, and I know you all want to kill me. Yep.
Yes, we do. This Florida boy, of course we want to kill you.
He said that he didn't understand why he. I don't understand why I done it. He said, I stabbed her and she fell quick to the ground. I wanted it to be quick. I didn't want her to suffer. Then why did you stab her like 30 some odd times?
That's a good question.
But he was asked why he did it, and he answered. Several days before the murder, while out with Doris, he met a woman named Mallory, a young lady named Mallory, and asked her out.
All right.
He told Mallory that Doris's car was his, and he was just driving his grandma around. So the day of the murder, he figured that... the day of the murder was also the day of his date with Mallory. So he figured Doris wouldn't let him borrow the car, so he killed her and took the car.
I'm moving out of Florida right now. I cannot live. What? Seriously. Did he ask her? You don't have to kill her. Because you lied to some bitch, you probably ain't going to give it up to you anyway.
Are you reading my notes?
Yeah. Well, dude, that was obvious. That was the obvious way for it to go. And no, I can't see your notes from here.
I know. But Spivey outlined the scenario for him, and Zach started laughing. Not because he thought it was funny, but because he said that Spivey was explaining the chain of events exactly and even better than he could have done it.
Right on.
Spivey believed that he felt remorse at that point, and he had killed the one person on the planet who loved him to take out a girl on a date that he probably was going to strike out with anyway. So he started to cry.
Aww.
Poor Zach.
Poor little Jackie Jack.
He started to cry, and Spivey said that this was the most senseless crime that he had ever worked. I think it's the most senseless one we've ever covered, too.
It's definitely the stupidest. Yeah, senseless for sure, because, yeah, there was no reason.
No.
I mean, there's not, well, you know what I mean. Let's say he got away with it.
Let's say he did get away with it.
All right.
You think Cecil's going to just give him that car? No.
No.
So you're still, even if you.
Yeah, dude, you
still got no car.
For no reason.
Right. Because we know Mallory ain't screwing you.
Yeah. Mallory, I mean, like, seriously, I mean, yeah, okay. If that was the day of the date, yeah, he might have been able to take her out with it then. But as soon as Cecil gets back, that's not your car no more. And what if you did score? Then your girlfriend's go, where's your Jeep?
Yeah.
Oh, the old lady I killed's husband took it back for me.
It got repossessed. Oh, you're a loser. Can't pay your bills. Bye.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there was no way he was coming out on top in this. And
no. Nope.
And why you didn't know that is beyond me. But anyway, whatever.
I'm surprised that he had enough game to be able to get Mallory to go out on a date with him while he was out with Doris.
Yeah, right.
But then we don't know what Mallory looks like.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, when I think of Mallory, I think of Michael J. Fox's older sister on Family Ties.
Yeah, that's where my head went too.
But and I don't see her agreeing to go on a date with some freaking Newport Ricky Delbert.
You know, that's you said that you thought of Mallory Keaton from whatever that show was called.
Family Ties.
Yeah. And I thought of her too, and I just realized something. I should have thought of Juliette Lewis as Mallory from Natural Born Killers.
Oh,
that would have been a better place to go, especially for this show.
Agreed.
But you know, story of my life, a day late and a dollar short, so I'll try harder.
So in 2012, Zach was sentenced to life without parole. So he confessed, but he didn't even get the death penalty like he
Jesus
wanted.
Jesus Christ, this guy's just an all around loser, man. Holy crap. He didn't even get the death, and he asked for it and they didn't do it. Jesus. All right.
Well, I think that it's like, well, if that's what you want, we're going to give you the opposite.
Oh, yeah. You know, because that's what you do.
Yeah. If he had said, I don't want the death penalty, then they would have given him the death penalty.
Yeah. Fuck.
What a chucklehead.
Yeah, and he's from Florida, too. Ain't we proud?
Yeah, I don't like this guy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure everybody realizes that not all people in Florida are like that.
Right. But still,
yeah, you know,
we hope you, well, I'm not done just yet, but I hope you, everybody liked my little Swanee River version because anytime we do a Florida story from now on, that's going to be part of the intro.
Yeah. Whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Cause it that's cool. It's one of the best things I've ever heard.
Cool. Oh, I love it. Anyway.
And it could have been Florida Man on Florida Man. It could have been theirs. They could have used it. But no.
Their suits got in the way.
Their suits got in the way.
If you know, you know.
Yeah. So later, a letter that Doris had written to Zach shortly after he had moved out surfaced, and it was all about encouragement and making the best life for himself and how he was on track to be great in life and to take every opportunity to succeed. She also said she loved him, but she also said, started critiquing him a little bit, saying that he needed to work on his outlook of wanting something right then, there, and now, and instant gratification at regardless of the cost.
Yeah.
So he wanted a girl who he never saw again. He killed the one person who gave a shit about him. Mm-hmm. And Doris recognized, that being a major character flaw about him. And that flaw basically was responsible for ending Doris's life.
Yeah.
So
it's terrible.
So I hope you're somebody's bitch in prison.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah. So, but that's it. That's the story.
Yay.
Half Pint episode number 4, and I got to figure out what to call this one.
Yeah.
Shark Tales.
Shark Tales. Oh, yeah. Hold on.
I don't know. Shit.
I do.
I'm not gonna have to do any edits on this one at all.
So no, I hope it was just too short for any pee breaks or anything.
Yeah, so I might just just release it right now as is.
Okay.
So.
Oh God damn it! What the fuck is that? Oh well. I didn't mean to put that backslash there, but it's there.
Oh, okay. So anyway, thanks for listening. We appreciate the hell out of it.
Yes.
You know, hook us up with a 5-star review or, just because it helps get our stuff out there. So, and we want more people to listen to our show. Check out our Patreon.
Yes. Join Ariana on our Patreon.
Ariana, the OG.
The OG.
So, till next week. Later.
Cheers, everybody.
Florida man. Hit it.
1, 2, 3, 4. Wake out of the storm. Where the old folks